Kevin Doherty, your host for Just Thinking. I am the Chief Strategy Officer for 806 Technologies, and I am beyond excited to have a great friend and someone from whom I've already learned so much just in the few years that I've gotten to know him. But I have Lamon Dean, the Superintendent of Chapel Hill ISD, here on Just Thinking today. And I'm going to let him introduce himself to you, to those of you who don't yet know who he is. So, Lamon, tell us who you are.
Well, thank you for having me, Kevin. It is an honor to be here to have a great conversation amongst a dear friend. As you mentioned, I'm Lamon Dean. I'm the superintendent of Chapel Hill ISD, just right outside of Tyler, Texas, here down in the eastern Piney Woods of Texas. So just enjoying the beautiful day that we have here and glad to be on your podcast.
So glad you're here, Lamon. Lamon, we've had many great conversations, and I'm so looking forward to other people getting to hear about your experiences, your wisdom, and the vision that you have for education. Your journey is a unique one, from student to superintendent. There may have been a time when that was more common, but it's very rare today. So would you mind sharing a little bit with our listening, viewing audience about that journey for you?
Absolutely. Well, it is, you know, definitely an honor to be able to serve in the community that I grew up in. You know, I was a student, as you mentioned, all my educational years, K through 12 here in this community. I was a son of a single mother in this rural community. I was filled with a lot of love from my mother, obviously, my older brother and sister, my grandfather, who stood in the place of as a mentor and a model of what a strong man should be in place of my father, who was not there, at least in my younger years, who was not. So I went through all my years here, got a chance to go through and walk through dirt roads when I was younger and playing in county roads with my friends and growing up in this very loving, nurturing community. You know, we go back. I have a biblical history, like many of you, many of our viewers have. My grandfather was a pastor, and we went to his church, and he gave us a lot of wisdom through his words of inspiration and biblical preaching. And obviously, we all hear the, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, and my upbringing was no different than that, because it took that whole village to raise us, because sometimes we ended up in somebody's yard, and if we misbehaved, then they were willing to or able to discipline us just as well as it was my parents. So we learned that level of respect and affirmation to with each other throughout my years. So had the fortunes again of building such a neat environment with having one older brother, but grew up with a lot of friends that were just like brothers to me. And we grew up all the way through high school. And you know, a few years after that, we stayed connected. But had the fortunes, as I mentioned, to do all of my years through grade school and high school, and had the fortunes and opportunity to continue my education through athletics. Had an opportunity to play in some different places and finish my education. You know, my story in some respects come through many blessings, primarily because I would not have gone through to college at that day and age if it had not been for the opportunities that I had through athletics. And, you know, I was definitely fortunate to have education through my abilities at that particular point in time. Finished school, started out teaching and coaching. Funny story, I started out in Murray, Kentucky at Callaway County High School. It was my first teaching coaching job. I was finishing up school and I was married. My wife and I had been married for a couple of years, had a young son at the time. I got married when I was still in college, and we were about to celebrate 30 years of marriage. So, you know, kudos to her. Not to me, but definitely kudos to her for putting up with me all these years. But we had a chance to start my career at that point in time, and I fell in love with Murray, Kentucky. I went to Murray State University, and we definitely decided that we wanted to make that place our home at the time. Had a lot of friends in college around, and so we stayed there for a couple of years. I taught and coached, and as my friends graduated, they ended up moving back to their local towns, and the town got a little bit empty, at least as far as friendships did. So had an opportunity of a gentleman who coached me in college was a reference of a local high school, Lindell High School here in Lindell, Texas, that was looking for a person that, that fit my experience and knowledge at the time. And so, believe it or not, I got transitioned back home here in Dallas, East Texas, through that endeavor, through different stops along the way, through coaching and got into administration. And one afternoon, I got a phone call that, you know, this high school in Tyler, Texas, just so happened to be my hometown. I was looking for a high school principal. And so long story short, we connected and was able to take full advantage of that. And I tell you what, I have been fortunate to be a part of the greatest profession in the history of profession, which has been considered an educator, but I never found a joy like being a high school principal. That was probably the most engaging, fulfilling job that I've had up until this point. Only because now I get to impact more people, more children, more communities, because maybe just been a little bit higher up the flagpole. So what a joy it has been to be able to come back to serve this village that served me so well for many years. And I'm just feel blessed and fortunate to be in this role to be able to do that.
Wow. I imagine the blessing is felt all around by the community that you serve, knowing that you're homegrown. So that's pretty exciting. And I heard two themes run through the journey that you just described. One was your church and your faith and how that helped to shape the man that you are now, the superintendent, the educational leader that you are today, and also athletics. You know, I did participate a bit in high school and little in college athletics, but I have a son who participated much more extensively, and I've seen at 28 years old, how that has shaped his life. And I wanted that for him because I've seen it in folks like you, friends like you, and the impact it's had. So I'd like for you to share just a little bit more about those two aspects of your upbringing and how they've helped to bring you to where you are today and help you to also make some of the tough decisions you have to make when you're sitting in that chair.
Absolutely. Well, my upbringing, as you mentioned, was through faith. And so even to this day, my faith is a big part of my life. It's a big part of the decisions we make. It's the big part of our district, our community, and being in a Bible Belt in East Texas. It's, you know, it allows my community believes in being led by faith, so I'm able to be an authentic leader. I don't have to hide that, and I get a chance to lead because my board members support that mission in our district. We understand that relationships are so critical to all of us, not just me, but our staff and all the students that we serve. And so not only that faith has been important, as I mentioned, it took a village and I got a chance to learn a lot of things, a lot of life lessons, not only my parents or my mom and my grandfather and those aunts and uncles that was around me, but many people in the community that learned so many life lessons through that. And so understanding that that philosophy is still important to us and important to me and my community. We hire people based on the belief that we have in our district. It's not by biblical or faith-based belief, but just believe in people, you know, believe in being missionaries to people and want what's best for those who need more than what, you know, sometimes is given. So that's important to me. As I extended that to athletics, and I can use athletics, but I can use that for any extracurricular, co-curricular activity, whether that be in band or dance or CTE or whatever, you know, it's the power of connection. It's the power of engagement, the power of relationships. And man, that has been such a cornerstone and so important to me. You know, I tell our staff quite often that kids truly are not coming to school for math, science, history, and English. And I tell them that you do know that, right? they come to school for all the other opportunities that we provide them. And so that's why it's so important for me to provide a plethora of opportunities, even more that they can take full advantage of, so we meet every child where they are. And so those relationships and those connections is what make education such an awesome endeavor. And so I'm blessed to be able to be led by my experiences, because experiences are the perception that we becomes people realities. I tell people, our reality is stooped into the by the experiences that have modeled and made us who we are today. So we use those experiences in life to guide us as leaders. And I think that would help benefit at least my district anyway, which I
can love
many others. Yeah.
You and I spent some time together when I was with Thinking Maps, and you may recall the frame of reference that you can put around any or all of the maps. And one of the things we focus on with the frame of reference was perspective.
Yes.
And I just am thinking about that piece as you're sharing what you're sharing, because I'm always reminded about the fact that every learner brings a unique perspective, point of view, and experiential background. And it's incumbent upon us as the educators that are serving these learners to be aware of what that unique perspective, point of view, experiential background is, so that we can build those stronger relationships and make the learning more relevant and meaningful to every student that we serve. So it's just so important. You know, I'm going to jump to another thing that you and I have talked about before, and that is the Maslow before Bloom, because it sounds like we're already kind of moving in that direction with this conversation. So talk a little bit more about why that's important to you.
Well, it's important to me because as I've gone through and through my transformational journey as a leader and discovering how to constantly look for ways to improve, we look at a lot of what I call root cause analysis in a district. You know, what mm-hmm. is the foundation to why things are what they are? Yes. And we talk about perspectives that people have, and perspectives is built on experiences, and it becomes people reality. People believe what they believe because of the experiences they have in life. And so mm-hmm. we know that that's important in our district. And so we want to go back to more root cause evaluation of what makes children prepared and accessible and ready to learn. I'm going to go back a little bit. I'm going to tell a little bit of this history while my experiences has led to my leadership, because as I mentioned that I was a product of a single family household, like many of our children in my community are, and I can imagine many of the other communities in the state, yes. similar to mine. And I remember being on free reduced lunch. I remember that, if my mom filled out the form, then I was able to be on free lunch. If she didn't fill out the form, they gave me reduced lunch. And I remember when I was young, getting up in the morning, you know, we didn't have a plethora of food in the pantry. As a matter of fact, when I was young, honestly, Kevin, I didn't know what a pantry was. It was a cabinet that we had, just food kind of wherever it was. So as we grew up and understanding that, if I didn't eat and didn't get a chance to eat breakfast, then I would go all day until lunch happened. And the true story, I still remember this today. I remember when I used to go through, lunch was 40 cents if it was reduced lunch. And I remember my mom was, I won't say that she couldn't give me 40 cents, but let's be honest, $2 with a day, a week for three kids is $6. It doesn't sound like very much back then, but you were nickel and diming back in the day off a single family home when your mom was a factory worker and doing everything she could to provide food. Money was tight. And I'll be frank with that. So if I didn't eat breakfast, I wasn't going to eat breakfast at home. If I didn't have the money to eat breakfast at school, then the only thing I had to eat was lunch. And so if I was able to scrounge up enough coins to eat lunch, then so I did. But outside of that, I didn't eat again until I got home, which was later in the evening time until my mom got off work. So you think about a child not having the ability to learn because their stomach is growling, mm-hmm. but not having the ability to learn because they didn't have AC on, because the AC either didn't work or they just don't have AC, because right. in the Texas heat, it gets pretty hot in August and in May, yes. as we're dealing with right now, on and on. Some just the basic needs. And so we come to school and we focus on educating the child, but there are so many children that come to our doors that have so many of their basic needs not being met, but we expect them to learn just like everybody else does. There are students that drive nice cars and they don't have to worry about money. They don't have to worry about right. food, but there's other right. children that come to school every single day and they are the first one in the lunch line or the breakfast line because they didn't eat last night.
Right.
And so, but I expect those kids to learn at the same rate as I do with the children who have access to those things. And so we really have done an about face. The last 3 years or so, we really focus a lot of our efforts on what we call Maslow before Blooms. It's really in our Chapel Hill verbiage, it's kids before content. Right. A gentleman years ago, and we had that philosophy, and that was something that he brought to our district, and I was married to it because we believe in that. We believe that if we don't take care of the children's basic needs, that we don't take care of the social emotional needs, that we are not going to get the outcome that we desire to have, because those children are not playing with the same playing field. Imagine that a kid, you and I, which there's no doubt that you're a lot more than I am, you run probably faster than I do, but if I put 10 hurdles in your lane and I had none, then I'm going to probably win that race.
Right.
You got to jump over them. And so every child who comes in who have hurdles in their lane, they have a lack of access to things, it slows them down. So my job as a superintendent is to remove the hurdles in every child's lane. And we do that by focusing on the Maslow's basic need before Bloom's taxonomy, which is the educational side of it. So we provided in our district that children, all of our children, all 3,500 of them, whether they can have access to resources or not, we provide us children free breakfast and lunch every day. We've been doing it for the last 4 years, going on 5 years. We provide mental health counselors before that became a thing. Okay, post-COVID mental health was a thing and everybody needed mental health access, but we knew that we needed that. So we've had 7 years of a mental health counselor in our district that is paid by the district because we felt like it was important for that. And I can go on and on and on. It's not necessarily bragging about those things, but we really focus on the basic needs of children. My goal in my district is that 100% of our children or involved in something. We track that. That means they got to be a part of a club or an organization. Why is that important? Because relationships matter. A sense of belonging matter. So imagine if you were a young Lamondine, you had a single, from a single loving mother.
Yes.
That does everything that she knows how to do for her child and her children. But there is no other connections in life that is positive. Because I was a latchkey kid. I came home, my mom, when I got off the bus, my mom wasn't there. And so I fended for myself and went out and played until dark, right? Yeah. But imagine if the people that I got became connected with was not positive people. Then I go down the wrong path. So I want us to be connected with positive people. So our goal is, I'm talking about kindergartners. I'm talking about Head Start children. Everybody got to be connected with something. Because that's where the connection to Maslow and relationships is so passionate. And when children have access to relationships and resources and the things that help them, now I can unlock the growth potential. And that's the most important thing for us.
Lamond, as I'm hearing you speak, several thoughts are coming into my mind. One is the lunch thing. So I'm the oldest of six kids. I had a mom and dad at home. My dad was not really all that present at the time that I was growing up. My mom did everything, and but there wasn't a lot of money coming in, especially when we moved back to my hometown that I ended up teaching in as well. But I'll never forget the day that I had to go to school with just a mustard sandwich because we didn't even have so much as cheese or meat or anything to put in it. And the boy next to me at the lunch table leaned over and he said, and I'm eating my sandwich very close to my mouth. He said, "Are you eating a mustard sandwich?" And I said, no, it has bologna or ham or something. "No, you're not. That's a mustard sandwich," and ran throughout the entire playground telling everybody, "Kevin's eating a mustard," you know, and just humiliating me.
Absolutely.
And it's already humiliating enough to have less than most of the kids that were in your class. But then to be called out and, you know, humiliated, it was just, obviously, I remember it very well. So these things stick with you. But, you know, that's my experience. And so I have some similar experiences with you. And they've shaped the educator that I became and the person that I am today serving educators. And that's what I hear in you, as I hear how much your experiential background has shaped the educational leader you are today. So whatever the mission statement is, whatever the vision statement is, whatever the improvement plan looks like, it's in you. Yes. You own it. And it's not even in so much the things that you're saying or the things that you're doing as the superintendent, as a leader, it's who you are. And it reminds me as well of when I decided to become an administrator and took that first administrative course in college, and I was failing, and the professor didn't know what to do to help me, but he said, "Kevin, you're making it too difficult." The word administer comes from the root word minister. As a leader, whether it's in a school or a company or whatever it is, in the classroom, how do you minister to others? And it's not even so much through what you say or what you do. It's more about who you are. And that's every, that's what I'm hearing in you. That's one of the reasons that I always love talking to you. It's one of the reasons that I am so impressed with the story, the journey, and also being able to see it in action in Chapel Hill and to see the impact of it, knowing people there, having visited there several times and knowing that this is the real deal. This is what's happening. So I so appreciate you for sharing that. It's one of the reasons I asked you to participate in last year's Learning Summit, which we have coming up again here in a little bit. So would you mind sharing a little bit about what that experience was like, sharing your story and some ideas for leadership in a venue like the Learning Summit last year?
I love the opportunity to present at the Learning Summit last year. I mean, I tell you what, that's one of the neatest endeavors, events that I've been associated with. It was a bunch of just passionate people. You're talking about in June, in the summer, yes, it's in Frisco, Texas. What a wonderful town. But people are committed to the outcomes of children. And that's when you knew you were at the right event. That's when you knew the right venue. Of course, having many that have experiences, but also passions that you have, that's what has connected us over these years. We believe the same things. But being in a room in an area full of other people that believe the same focus of doing what's in the best interest of children. And man, I was overjoyed to share that. What a neat, neat, wonderful experience. Very professionally put together. And I told you this last year, and we're friends, so we can always be honest with you. Right. One of the most professional, well put together events that I've been associated with. Love the ability to network with so many people from around the country. I'm not talking about the state of Texas, but so many from the state from around the country. I got a chance to network with the superintendent from California last year. Mm-hmm. And actually, he and I have stayed in touch from time to time and just to be able to say hello. So what a great endeavor for that. But I was just overjoyed. It's been one of the most favorite events that I went to last year. Loved the clientele that was from a very diverse group of people, again, from around the country. And I was able to learn so much from the authentic conversations. It was not just a play on words. It was authentic leadership conversations. And I got a wealth of information from that. Really looking forward to the opportunity to attend this year. I have some conflicts in my schedule, but I'm going to try to tweak in some time because I'll be right next door in a local town doing a conference as well. But hopefully I can come up, I guess, the last day before it's over.
Yeah, you know you're welcome anytime. So we would love to have you come and at least say hello. Well, Lamond, I try to stay true to the podcast timing and keep it right at about 20 minutes. But I did want to give you the opportunity to share anything else about which you're just thinking that I didn't give you an opportunity to address on this podcast. So, my friend, the last word is yours.
Well, I'm just honored again to be able to even speak a little snippet of this little small rural East Texas school district that hopefully we are experiencing some great growth with our focus on kids. And when we look at that, and I'm glad to hear you say that the root word of, you know, administrator is about ministry, because that's what we are in our district. And one thing that I've had and hope all the listeners, as well as those that may be in contact with the 806 technology training here in a couple of weeks, you know, one of the things I always say, and I communicate this with our staff, you know, just because we disagree, it doesn't mean we have to hate each other. And unfortunately, that's what I see is happening around the world and even in some communities. It's just because I don't agree with you, whether it be through social media or through other media outlets, I have to hate you and I have to basically bash you as an individual person. And that has really stuck with me because that's not the way it used to be. And so if anything, I hope that all of our listeners take that little grain of nugget and say, hey, listen, just because we don't agree on everything that is said or done, whether it be through trainings or podcasts or endeavors in the world, it doesn't mean that we have to hate each other. It just simply means that we don't agree on something. And you and I probably have not agreed on everything, although we have a lot of commonalities, but we're still as good as friends we were since the first day that we started to meet each other. And so I'm just thankful of the work. I'm thankful of the work of 806. I'm thankful of the work that you have done, because I know where your heart and passion lies. And I know the work that you are doing is going to benefit the children in the state of Texas and around the world.
So appreciate that, Lamond. And, you know, what you just mentioned, if we can shift from positional thinking to possibility thinking, we all can take the position. We're going to have positions on almost any topic out there. But if we can approach that topic from the standpoint of possibilities, what are the possibilities that this topic presents for all of us from our varied positions? Then, you know, we can work together toward achieving those possibilities. So I greatly appreciate your spirit of love, your spirit of just everybody working together toward the success of every student that you serve. And it's just it's a pleasure to be your friend and to get to hear more about the great work you're doing in Chapel Hill ISD. So thanks for joining Just Thinking.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.